could you tell us how many grandchildren you have?
We have 7 grandsons and 7 granddaughters, ranging in age from 7 to 26.
So that all 4 of your children have children of their own?
All 4 children have children of their own. There are 3 in each of the Pittsburgh families, 4 in the non-resident families, in each of the non-resident families.
Could you contrast for us a bit the way you raised, the way you were raised, and the way you raised your own children? Were there any appreciable differences?
I don't know that I can give any clear answer on that as far as... I was concerned that I think that I had the same sort of relationship to my parents and sister, which I hope has been repeated in the next generation, in my own children. And I see evidence that in the next generation that also is the case.
Was there any difference in the discipline of your home when you were growing up and the discipline in the home with you as a father when your children were growing up?
I don't think we thought of life in terms of discipline. I thought of life as something to be lived, and our parents gave us guidance, but we had no sense of being under direction or compulsion.
I think we probably could give a better picture of what family life was like with you as a father if you were to tell us where you and the family, or did you and the family, go on vacations?
Our summers, for the most part, almost entirely, were spent in the mountains, and we loved to ride horseback, love to go hiking, and do non-technical climbing. In fact, that I think is something which all 3 of the present generations of the family still enjoy.
To what states were these trips taken?
We went, for the most part, to Estes Park in Colorado. Then, when the children were growing up and traveling was less of a problem, we went elsewhere through the West and to Canada.
What age did your children have to be to come along with you on family vacations?
Well, I would say it started at anywhere from 6 to 8 months, depending on the age of the children. That's depending on the season of the year in which they were born.
So they really went along with you, really, as infants?
Oh, definitely.
Were the trips that you and your wife took during your married life, were they, in the main, family vacations?
Yes.
You have mentioned from time to time...
We did get one trip to Europe with our 2 younger daughters, Frances and Eleanor. But by that time, the 2 older children were married and were not with us.
So that was around what years?
That was in 1956.
You have mentioned from time to time about sport activities that you have participated in. I wonder if you would tell us, are you active in any sports at this present time?
Not active in sports. I play tennis for fun. I go ice skating for fun. And in the summer I go hiking, climbing for fun. But it isn't in the sense of doing them as sports.
Well, now how frequently would you say you play tennis or go ice skating in a given week?
Tennis, while the season lasts, we try to play practically every day. Ice skating is not quite as convenient to get to, and we go twice a week is a little while the season lasts. Perhaps now if there's a rink in Squirrel Hill, we'll get there a bit often.
Let's talk about some other activities. Do you watch TV?
I do not. I am not a devotee of television.
Do you do much reading?
I would like to do vastly more. Unfortunately, my leisure hours are not as great as I would wish.
When you do have time to read, what type of book do you read?
History, biography are the, and books in the field of religion are the things which I have been principally interested in.
Did you attend, or do you now, on any regular basis, any musical events or any theater?
We used to attend theater quite often in former years. In recent years, we seldom get to the theater, but we do go to the chamber music concerts and enjoy that.
So those you still go on a regular basis?
Yes, try to.
Didn't you also used to attend symphony as a regular
member? We attended symphony concerts regularly until the season was extended, and we found it too great an effort to commit ourselves to a weekly schedule.
Could we turn now to what religious observances did you have in your home? And when your children were growing up, and even now?
That is a question that is difficult to answer. We have tried to say grace at meals, and we have tried to have a Friday evening service at our table on Friday evenings, at the holy days, we tried to get the family together for dinner for a temple. When the children were younger, I had great pleasure in studying with them in the field of religion.
Where would your Passover Seder be?
Passover Seder has normally been here.
I've
always felt that that was a family occasion and not a community occasion. Say that without attempting to derogate in any way from the value of the congregational Seder, but for us it has seemed much better to have the family together right here.
Could you tell us how often you go to temple for any religious services?
I try to go to the Vesper service on Friday, the Saturday morning and Sunday morning services. I try to attend some of the festival services. I don't succeed in getting to all of them. And I do attend on the holy days.
Is there anything that you think we should know in comparing Pittsburgh today with the Pittsburgh of yesterday, either socially, culturally, politically, environmentally? Do you see any major changes that you would like to point out?
That's a large question. I think that Pittsburgh is a cleaner city environmentally than it was in my early days. There certainly has been evidence of declining population in Pittsburgh, and I'm afraid that we are seeing some of that in the declining membership in the congregation. But of course, in recent years, a number of other Reformed congregations have been established in the area, whereas in my childhood and up to 30 years ago, Lord of Sholem was the only Reformed congregation in Pittsburgh. So that makes a difference in dividing the community into several congregations, whereas previously our own congregation was only Reformed congregation.
You have touched upon the next question, but I'll ask it anyway in case there's something you want to add. How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community today?
That again is a question which I don't have a ready answer. I think it has been clear over the years that our own congregation, Lord of Sholem, has been outstanding among the congregations of the country, outstanding in its rabbinic leadership, outstanding in the devotion of its membership. I hope that that will continue to be the case, but one can only hope and cannot necessarily predict what the impact of changing residential patterns will be.
Do you feel that Jews, individually or collectively, are more accepted in the non-Jewish community now than they were in the years when you were growing up or were active in the community as a very young man?
I think that there has been an increase in understanding among people of all faiths in the community. I think definitely that has gone on over the years. I don't mean that in my early years we were restricted to the Jewish community in our contacts. After all, we went to school with people of all religions, and some of them were our friends. Some of those friendships continued.
We spoke some while back about, we specifically asked you the question, in your growing up years, did you ever feel that you were a victim of anti-Semitism, either you in the primary, secondary school, or at college. Were you ever, or now our question is, were you ever aware, were your children ever the target of anything that was anti-Semitic?
I would not say that I have been the target of anything that was anti-Semitic, and I would not say that my children had been. When I was at college, there was a club system in which it was very rare for a Jew to become a member of a club. I personally wasn't interested in becoming a member of a club. At the time I was there, there was a revolt against the club system, so that the class ahead of me had a very outstanding group of students who were not club members. I had the opportunity of having my meals with them in the undergraduate dining halls known as commons, and I found that very satisfactory, and I had no unfulfilled ambitions to be a club member. And I would say that my children, to my knowledge, were not subjected to any type of discrimination.
Either in their public school years or in their college years?
I'm sure that they were not. The situation at Princeton had changed in the intervening years. My son actually was a member of an eating club, and he was at the same time the chairman of the Princeton Hillel Society, so that he was definitely known as a Jew and accepted as a Jew. And my daughter, Eleanor, who might not say it for herself, was chairman of the campus religious organization at Vassar College, which included not only Jews, but all religions.
And this eating club that your son belonged to, that just was not an eating club for Jewish young men. It was for both Jewish and non-Jewish.
No.
Okay. Now, how do you view your accomplishments, your successes, or even your failures?
I don't view them at all.
Is there any other information that you think we have not covered and you would like to add?
I hope that nothing that I've said will be held against me. Thank you very much.
Can we ask you, since there still is time, one more question? I seem to recall your having told us of presenting some paper to the Central Conference of American Rabbis. Is that something that would be of interest?
No, not to the Central Conference of American Rabbis. In 1927, the Cleveland meeting of the Union of American Hebrew Congregations, I did present a paper on a young man's viewpoint, and at that time I discussed the Union Prayer Book before its revision, and raised certain problems that I found with the Union Prayer Book. Some of those, I think, were met in the subsequent revision of the prayer book, not because I had presented that viewpoint, but because others felt as strongly about it as I did.
I have thought of a last question that I would like your view. During the late fall of 1975, at Rode of Sholem, there was a lecture series where some eminent writers came to speak to us. One of those writers shared with us his thought that probably the continuation of Judaism would hinge in great part on the furtherance of Reform Judaism. Did you share his view? and do you have any comments on
his share thought? That view very emphatically, and I think that it is of the greatest importance for those who believe in Reform or liberal Judaism to make that religion a dynamic and important part of their lives and their thinking. Not something that will automatically propagate itself. I think that the religion will flourish only to the extent to which people take it seriously and make it a guiding force in their lives. So that one can't sit back and say, yes, Reform Judaism is going to grow. It will grow only if we want it to grow, only if we make it clear to ourselves and to others that this religion is not something inherited from the past, but something that for us has a dynamic message for the future.
So therefore, would you be an optimist or a pessimist about the survival of Judaism in general over for the remaining years of this 20th century?
I see no reason why Reform Judaism should not continue to flourish during the remaining years of the 20th century, and hopefully long after that. But for the religion to flourish, it would be necessary that those who share that faith shall make it part of their actual lives, not just talking.
Thank you very much, Mr. Aaron. In looking back over our notes, Mr. Aaron, we noticed that we forgot to ask you the names of who the other three children, the names of the spouses of the other three children. We seem to get the name James Langer for Eleanor. Could you tell us who the other three children married?
Maxine married Edward William Roston, a lawyer, San Francisco, happened also to be a third cousin of my wife. Francis married Robert Lee Hess, who was at the time a member of the faculty at Carnegie Tech and is now Associate Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs at the University of Illinois in Chicago. My son, Marcus II, married Barbara Goldman of San Francisco. And Eleanor, has already been indicated, married James S. Langer of the Physics Department of Carnegie Tech, who was also Associate Dean of the Scientific Division of Carnegie Mellon University.